Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. This is Shane Vanderhart, and in studio with me is Chris Roloff. He's subbing for Ron this morning as producer, and Brian decided he needed to do something like work. I don't know. It was kind of weird. He said, I'm in South Dakota. I can't do the show this week. So we'll excuse him, and hopefully he'll be back on with us next week. But on the line, I have a very special guest. We have former Texas Governor Rick Perry. I forgot that his term has ended, so he is no longer in office. But he is running for president, and he's been up in Iowa a lot. And we wanted to be able to connect with him and have our listeners hear why he's running and a little bit more about his campaign and where he stands on different issues. Welcome, Governor, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, Shane, good to be with you this morning. I'm enjoying a cup of coffee that comes from the great state of Iowa. So, I get a little coffee from time to time up in the Mason City area. Cabin Coffee, a great American by the name of Brad Barber, operates that. So, I'm telling you, it's called Dakota Sky. So,
Dakota
you're talking
Sky.
About the Dakotas a little bit. Anyway, I'm caffeinated.
All right. I've never heard of them. I'll have to check them out. So,
Cabin Coffee. They do a great job up there. It's family owned business in Clear Lake and Mason City. And anyway, they're a good little mom and pop business up there. Make a great cup of coffee.
Great. So, a question I like to ask anybody who decides to jump into the presidential race, and this is your second time. And why do you want to subject yourself to this?
Well, interesting question. Matter of fact, I got asked by a major reporter back in February. I was telling him about the house that my wife is overseeing the construction of 70 miles east of Austin. It's out in the country. It's pastoral. It's beautiful. Rolling hills and big live oak trees. And we're on a piece of property that's about 50 acres with two of my best friends from college. Our wives love each other. You walk outside at night and you can hear the frogs croaking and the coyotes howling, and the night sky is just brilliant. I mean, it's just the most fabulous part of the world. And he said, why would you want to leave that and get back in this mess? And I said, you know what? Great question. But I said, in 15 years, when my granddaughter is getting ready to go to college, I don't want her asking me what I was doing while America was getting in the ditch in 2015. The wrong answer is I was sitting on the porch in Round Top, Texas, enjoying the peace and serenity of that part of the world. The key is, like Ronald Reagan said, that there's two paths this country can go on. One of them is a good path and a bright path. Another one is our children taking the first step into 1,000 years of darkness. Mm-hmm. And, whatever path we end up on, don't let it be said about you that you weren't doing everything that you could to make sure that America was on the right path. And that's at the real heart of why, I'm doing this. I've spent 35 of my 65 years in public service, pilot in the United States Air Force, part-time state legislator and the governor for the last 14 years of the 12th largest economy in the world. And I would suggest almost unquestionable, one of the most progressive from the standpoint of creating wealth and jobs states.
Glad you clarified that.
I use the word progressive in a very positive sense. The progressive side of Texas is that we let people keep more of what they work for. We have a regulatory climate that's fair and predictable, a legal system that doesn't allow for overseeing, suing, and having a public school system that's accountable and lets young people have a chance to get ahead in life. I mean, that's progressive in my book.
Right.
But being able to oversee that for the last 14 years, and then being involved in public service, I probably could go sit on the porch in Round Top, Texas, and people say, you know what, you've earned the right to prop your feet up. But I can't do that. I mean, seeing where the country is today, whether it's the attack on religious freedoms, the idea that people can't have freedom to believe any way they want in this country is of great concern to me. The attack on the free market system, this corruption that we see out of Washington, D.C., it's just, you know, I'm still healthy and passionate about this country. And I'm gonna continue to stay in the fight, and I'm gonna come to Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina a lot in the next few months.
And just as far as this being your second time around, what are some changes? How are you campaigning differently than you did last time?
Well, the preparation side of this is the biggest issue for me. You know, two things. Number one, we had major back surgery 6 weeks before we announced in 2011, and no matter how much I thought I was Superman, that back surgery was kryptonite, if you will, for me. And it had a real impact on my ability to, you know, to be focused and recall. You know, it just did. Mm-hmm. But the other side of it is just the preparation side, to sit and talk about the issues that are important to this country and to the world requires a substantial amount of preparation. To discuss intellectually foreign policy, monetary policy, the issues that you're going to face as the President of the United States. I don't care what your background is. If you haven't done the homework to really deeply familiarize yourself, it's going to show. And at the end of the day, you're going to get asked a lot of in-depth questions. And, you know, big, broad, sweeping brushes, brush strokes are not going to be sufficient. You've got to be very, very well versed in these issues, whether it's dealing with, you know, countries like Iran, or whether it's monetary policy, whether it's China, what's going on in Ukraine. All of those issues are very, very complex. And just you know, knowing where they are is not enough. You've got to have deep knowledge of that. So, and you really got to be grounded in the philosophy. I mean, one of the things I tell people, I said, listen, this election needs to be about the record, not rhetoric. Everybody's going to get up and say the right thing. Everybody's going to get up and say, you know, we need to get the country back on track economically. Well, for the last 14 years, I have had a record of dealing with an economy in the 12th largest economy in the world. Dealing with these issues of the border, nobody has had more experience of dealing with the border, understanding the federal government's total lack of, the federal government's total lack of dealing with this and their constitutional requirement. The state of Texas has had to stand in and try to secure that border because the federal government's been such a failure at it. And we've had fairly good success, a 74% reduction of those apprehensions after we sent the National Guard, after we sent our parks and wildlife wardens, literally put them in the river in their boats back last summer. From midsummer through November, a 74% reduction, which is proof that you can secure the border. You know, the idea that, you know, folks stand up and say the right thing. Yeah, I'm gonna secure the border. You know, I'm gonna build a wall. Well, I think the concept of building a wall, you know, that's kind of like hope and change.
Right.
Everybody's for that, but give me the details.
Right.
That's 1,933 miles, Shane. I mean, this is a tremendous border. It's going to cost billions and billions of dollars to build a wall. And then you've got to have the personnel. You've got to have so the point is, that's rhetoric.
Sure.
Let's have real results. And the results that we're looking for is a thoughtful approach. You put the personnel in the right places on the border. You have the security fencing in the metropolitan areas. You have aviation assets deployed from Tijuana to El Paso to Brownsville 24/7, looking down, making the analysis of what's going on, whether it's illegal clearly or it's suspicious, and fast response teams that go to those places. at that particular point in time. Not only will we, in a substantially more expeditious way, mm-hmm. but also in a more economically appropriate way, deal with this issue of securing our border.
You mentioned monetary policy a little while ago as you were talking, and I wanted to. I seem to remember when you were governor, did you not sign a state legal tender bill? I seem to remember Texas has one, or maybe
One of the things we tried to do was bring our gold back into the state of Texas. As a matter of fact, I think they finally got that passed over the last 2 years, as I recall. I could be corrected on that, but you know, we tried to put some monetary policies in the state that we had oversight on of making sure that the state of Texas, the actual physical gold that the state owns, was in a state repository. Mm-hmm. And again, I can't remember whether the governor this time around was actually able to get his signature on it or not. But those types of monetary policies, I do think, are important for states to have oversight over. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big 10th Amendment guy. And there are a lot of folks that are running for the presidency that will talk a good game. Yes, oh, yeah, we're for, you know, reducing the size of government. But then they want to talk about issues, whether it's education issues or, you know, Common Core is a great example. You either believe in the 10th Amendment and the states having the right to set the curriculum and then they compete against each other, or you don't believe in the 10th Amendment and you think that the federal government has a role and a substantial role to play in education. Healthcare is a great example of it. Obamacare is a straight out assault on mm-hmm. the 10th Amendment. We need to allow states to put the policies into place on transportation infrastructure rather than USDOT deciding here's where this money is going to go and here's the here's the restrictions that you can use this money. I wouldn't even send that money to Washington, D.C. in the form of a federal gas tax. Mm-hmm. I'd keep the bulk of that back in the states to be used as the states see fit. Obviously, a resource going into the federal government to help pay for our interstate highway system. I understand that's a federal responsibility, but by mm-hmm. and large, a lot of this decision making that comes out of Washington is none of their business.
Right.
I want to be the president of the United States. I mean, he's putting on a bumper sticker. I want to be the president of the United States so I can go to Washington, D.C. and make Washington as inconsequential in people's lives as it can be.
Okay. Let's talk about some things that the federal government does do and should do. As far as monetary policy, going back to that discussion, we just recently had a dip in or a dive in the stock market. It's remounted a little bit. How much do you think that's impacted by monetary policy and what the Federal Reserve's doing?
Well, you go back to 2011, and I had some pretty harsh things to say about Bernanke and QE, the quantitative easing that was going on. And I think, looking at hindsight, we were right. This idea that the Federal Reserve could print money and stimulate the economy just doesn't hold water. All we did was we devalued the money you had in your pocket. We devalued, and now we're left with some really bad choices. I mean, seriously bad choices. You raise interest rates today, and it could create a massive global recession of substantial portion. And you can't lower the rate anymore. I mean, zero is about as low as you can go. I guess you
right.
could go into negative territory and then really
they'll start paying us money,
penalize savers. But it's just, you know, the quantitative easing that the Federal Reserve was engaged in over the last 5+ years has been absolutely tragic for not just the American economy, but I will suggest to you the global economy as well.
Right. So shifting gears here, seventh video was released from Center for Medical Progress about,
yeah.
Actually it wasn't about Planned Parenthood this particular time, it was focused on STEM Express,
yep.
CEO. As president, what would you do to address this issue with Planned Parenthood?
I think I've already got experience with that. We defunded Planned Parenthood in Texas, and that's what needs to happen at the federal level. Again, you know, everybody's saying the right thing. People are saying, "Oh, yeah, we'll defund Planned Parenthood." We did it in Texas, and you know, look at the record. I mean, rhetoric's fine, but the fact is, this country needs a president who has got a record of success, not rhetoric. And we'll have had 8 years of a young United States senator who had a lot of rhetoric.
Right.
And the rhetoric has cost this country economically. It has cost us on the world stage. And I hope that Americans, you know, when you get on an airline and you fly from point A to point B, let's say across the ocean, you want to go with somebody that's got the experience of being able to fly that aircraft through every type of weather situation, every type of emergency situation that could come up, and arrive at the destination for you and your family in a safe manner.
Right.
Why wouldn't we want that same experience in a president of the United States? Somebody who's had the experience. Nobody gave me the manual on how to deal with the space shuttle falling out of the sky in the early part of the 2000s. Nobody gave me the how-to manual, Shane, of how to deal with Hurricane Katrina and the massive amount of people that came in from Louisiana into Texas. Last summer, nobody gave me the here's how you deal with these massive amount of peoples that are going to end up on your border trying to penetrate into your state illegally. Nobody gave me the manual when Ebola showed up in Dallas last
year. Hey, Governor.
But Americans got to see that leadership in action, and that's what I think this country is.
Thank you so much, Governor Perry. This is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Caffeinate Thoughts Radio is brought to you by, in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance that you need. And this is Shane Vanderhart, and Brian Myers is, he usually does the emphasis on the you need, so I was like feeling lonely. But I got Chris in here, and he's going to jump in and talk a little bit.
You're absolutely right. It's really funny because I heard Brian's voice. Do that you need right at the end there,
right? And it's like sad. I miss that. I really miss that.
It was sad not to have.
Yeah, but we're having fun. We are Governor Perry. That was a great interview. We're gonna have to have him back because I was telling him after we got off the phone. It's like I got this long list of topics I wanted to get through with you, and I got not even halfway through.
Yeah, so but he had to have had bullet points for all those topics because
I'm sure
rambled through the different things. I mean, he touched on immigration, Common Core.
Right.
I mean, it was fascinating.
Yeah, his communications person, Lucy Price, said, make sure you talk about Common Core. Because she likes that.
Yeah, yeah, Shane likes that.
Yes.
So. Especially if you're not for it. Now, if you're for Common Core, you might want to keep your mouth
yeah,
shut.
Yeah, don't bring it up then. So you want to talk Common Core? Hey, okay, all right. We have an interview third segment. So this segment is kind of going to be kind of our news rundown. It's usually our third segment. I got some audio clips we want to play. State Fair is over, and you know some people are sad about that. Living in Pleasant Hill.
Oh my!
I am happy.
I bet.
Because I have to deal with the traffic regardless of where
I go. If I have to go anywhere west of where I live, I have to deal with fair traffic and it gets annoying.
It was absolutely terrible.
I've been to the fair. I was at the fair twice, once with my family, and then another time on Saturday intentionally to listen to a couple speeches. I listened to almost all the soapbox speeches, but most of them I listened to online. There were, I think I missed Cruz's because we were actually recording the show when he was on. And then I think there was one other I missed too, and I don't remember exactly what. But I caught almost all of them. And I caught Chris Christie on Saturday, and he was asked, he didn't speak. He said, I want to just let this be your time. I want you to ask questions. I like that because, frankly, as a political observer and somebody who hears campaign speeches over and over and over and over again, I mean, I go to a lot of different events with the same candidate, and they're saying the same thing over and over and over. And, you know, I video this, and I sometimes ask myself, I can almost give the speech myself. Why am I videoing this again when it's the same thing? But when they get to questions and answers, that is more interesting because from a journalistic point of view,
sure,
that's where some wild cards can come in.
Absolutely.
So this person asked him, and I don't know the background of the person asking this. They said, should businesses be allowed to discriminate against LGBT people? Now, if you have been living under a rock for the past few years, let me translate LGBT. That's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Sometimes some people add Q, which means questioning. It does not mean queer. It means questioning. There. Now you know if you did not know. So they asked him this, and I want to play a clip of what he said. And usually Ron does this, so I'm...
We're making you do double duty.
I know.
I can barely sit still. I can't do two things.
And maybe we won't hear from Chris Christie.
Oh, it doesn't want to load, does it?
Here we go.
Should businesses be able... No, they should not. Listen, we have a system of laws in this country, and those laws need to be followed. And the fact is that religious organizations should be protected from having to do anything that violates their religious beliefs as a religious organization. That should be protected. But other businesses who want to do business, they should have to be able to do business under the laws of our country. When I take an oath of office as governor, my oath of office is to enforce the laws of the state of New Jersey, not the laws I like or the laws that I agree with, but all the laws. And if we don't want to have a country of men and women, but a country of laws where everyone's treated equally, that's what we need to do. And so religious organizations absolutely should be protected. Everyone should be able to freely practice their religion the way they see fit, but businesses should not be allowed to discriminate. No.
Okay.
That sounds like something I've heard from many liberal candidates, to be honest with you, Shane. That was surprising to me. That seems like the kind of rhetoric that we hear where Chris Christie says, that's fine in your churches. You can talk about what you want to talk about and stand up for what you believe in inside the four walls of that church. But if you take that outside the four walls of your church, then you're going to have hell to pay and I'm going to come down on you.
Right.
And that's a bunch of B.
Right. And you're absolutely...
Those are my words, Shane. I apologize.
you're right, Chris. Because the first thought I had when I first heard this, two problems, basically, I see with this. One is there's a fundamental misunderstanding what freedom of religion is. We have freedom of religion, the First Amendment protects, not freedom of worship.
Right.
So, and he mentions practice, you know, practice your religion. However, unless you are a business person. Now, while it's great that he brings up religious organizations, and I was kind of sitting there, I was like, oh, you're clapping for this, but do you realize he's saying that we're not going to protect... Okay, yeah, you know what? Those religious organizations already had protection.
Right.
The Civil Rights Act already makes exceptions for religious organizations. In Iowa's Civil Rights Code makes exceptions for religious organizations. So we already had protection there, and frankly, you know, it's an inalienable right anyway.
Right.
Government should just be protecting it. They don't give us that right. That's something we already have. However, with businesses, there should be freedom of conscience as well. And I think too, there's also a second problem is there's a misunderstanding between real discrimination and someone not wanting to participate in an event or a message.
You're exactly right. I agree with you 100%. And I think this is the rhetoric that keeps getting missed over and over, Shane, is that you've got Christian business owners saying, I'm not going to bake you a cake, but so-and-so down the street can. Can I get you their
right.
name and contact and information? You know, and we've talked about this before, Shane. Here at 99.3, we run into the same thing when it comes to advertising. You know, we have to be honest with someone who comes to us and wants to advertise on 99.3. We can refuse the business simply because we think, you know what, this isn't something that is good for our listeners, and it's really not good for you. If you want the best service, why don't you go with someone who can relate to you, is going
right.
to be for you. Go to a baker that's going to make you the best cake,
and
something that you want.
Not about that person. It's about the message.
Right. It's about the message, and it's a participation in something.
Yeah. Right. And, for instance, with the Gort's House.
Right.
They've served gay people before.
Absolutely. They had homosexual employees.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when you talk to, you know, a gay wedding, no, that violates that will make us violate our religious beliefs.
Right.
If we participate in that. Same is true with these bakers, the Kleins in Oregon. And the person that came to ask them about, you know, baking a cake for their wedding was already a prior customer.
Right.
So, again, you know, I believe as a Christian, and I also don't think it's necessarily good practice. So, you know, some liberals will say, oh, you just go, what, you know, decline serving food to a gay person or lodging to a gay person. No, I don't think that's loving to do that. I'm not going to deny a person goods or services or lodging or even employment unless it goes against my, you know, again, this is where the religious organization comes into play. And this is my personal perspective. If I am running a business, I will hire, if that person is qualified, I would
right.
hire a homosexual. I would. Now, if I were a pastor in a church and we were looking at hiring, say, a youth pastor, no, I would not hire a homosexual because that would go against our mission as,
right.
as a church. And I would say the same thing about somebody who was an alcoholic or somebody who was, you know, stepping out on their wife or, you know, I would want that person to, you know, be morally pure. I mean, obviously not perfect because nobody's perfect, but
right.
somebody who isn't living a lifestyle of sin. So there's a huge difference there. But yeah, I don't think it's a good business practice to discriminate, and I certainly don't think it's loving to discriminate, and that's not what we're talking about here.
Right,
so,
we're not talking about discrimination, and I love this. You've probably heard this, Shane, and if it's already on your news list, I apologize for not seeing this, but Christianity Today reported, and other Christian outlets have reported, those Christian bakers you talked about that were fined $135,000
yes.
in Oregon, they did something that I think is extraordinary. Meaning that it's extraordinary. It's one thing to say that they discriminate. These folks, and there's a great picture at Christianity Today of the cakes they made. They made multiple cakes, 10 cakes, and sent them to different LGBT organizations as a gesture of goodwill. After already being sued, being in the middle of it, they sent it to the LGBT Arts Alliance, Asians and Pacific Islam. I mean, I can't say all these things. I'm a bit tongue-tied.
Right.
But 10 different cakes. How is that discrimination? And this cake simply said that we love you. This is not a discrimination case. This is, we don't want to participate in your wedding. We don't want to celebrate your marriage. You know what's really funny, and I've had this conversation before, you've got an alcoholic, somebody who knows that they have a drinking problem. Are you going to say, hey, I want to have a kegger. Can you help me have this kegger? And you know that they're an alcoholic. The answer is no. It's not good for that person to do it. We don't want to celebrate the thing they're doing that's damaging themselves.
Right.
Homosexuals that are choosing to get married, if we celebrate that, we're saying, hey, you know what you're doing that's destroying your life? Yay for that. Why would you want to celebrate
right.
that?
Well, it's just like asking, say, a black caterer, hey, why don't you go cater this KKK event?
Right.
We wouldn't expect that.
Right, exactly not.
So,
no, absolutely not.
It's crazy. Planned Parenthood, we talked a little bit about the Center for Medical Progress with Governor Perry last segment, but the Center for Medical Progress released its eighth video. Just for sake of time, I'm going to play just one clip. It's a little bit longer. It's a minute 39, but this had to be the most poignant. And by the way, if you have kids in the room, you probably want to turn down the radio or get them out of the room because it's a little graphic, but I want to play this clip here for you if I can. I don't have Ron's magic touch, so
I know.
We'll see.
I often say Christian talk radio, we're not necessarily safe for the whole family, so be
right.
prepared, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that one of the issues with neural tissue is so fragile. Mm-hmm. It's insanely fragile.
Right.
And, you know, I don't even know.
Whenever you're ready, no worries.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
It's
very sweet.
They just paid the bill.
That, I know we get requests for, it's the hardest thing in the world to ship.
You do as the whole Calvarium.
That's it. Yeah, that's the easiest way. And, I mean, we've actually had good success with that in the past.
Okay, I'm going to stop that. Calvarium, what is that?
Is that the brain or the skull or the
head?
That's
the head.
The head. Wow.
So we're going to ship the entire head. Okay, I'm going to keep playing.
So,
Make sure the eyes are closed.
Yeah. Tell the lab it's coming. Did it all open the box?
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
God. So, yeah, where so many of the academic labs cannot fly like that, they're just not capable.
Why is that? I don't understand it.
It's almost like they don't want to know where it comes from. Yeah. Like in CNA, where they're like, we need limbs, but no hands and feet need to be attached. And you're like...
Oh, they just want the long bones and they don't want to see that
they want you to take it all off. Mm-hmm. Like,
Anyway, we don't need to listen anymore of that. But,
wow.
That you were listening to the person with the cackle. that was STEM Express CEO Kate Dyer. This was a video that was actually had the temporary restraining order placed against it, but it was just recently lifted.
Wow.
I can understand why she didn't want that to come to light because, well, that's just appalling that somebody sit at lunch, they're eating lunch.
Sure.
And just laugh about shipping baby heads. And two verses came to mind, Chris, when I watched this. The first one was Ephesians 4:18. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart.
Yeah.
And then Romans 2:5 says, but because of your hard and impenitent, and I'm not pronouncing that right, heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Impenitent heart. And hardened heart. When I'm watching these videos, and it's just a hard heart.
It absolutely is that they laugh and they mock those who don't want to know, want to be hidden from the atrocities. They're like, hey, I know this is baby parts. Why can't they be strong enough to understand that these are baby parts? She mocks those who want to hide themselves from the atrocity.
Absolutely. This is the segment flew by. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back with an interview with Doug Goff talking about a religious freedom rally of sorts coming up Sunday.
There you go.
We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries. Check out Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. You may have seen in the news there's a cross. Actually, it was a silhouette of a soldier with a cross that was placed next to this landmark in Knoxville, Iowa, called
Freedom Rock. And this is in Youngs Park, so it's a public park. And apparently some anonymous resident of Knoxville complained to Americans United for the separation of church and state. Because, you know, when I have a complaint about something, I always go to a third party so they can, you know. Anyway, so Americans United sent a letter to the Knoxville City Council or city manager, whoever. Our upcoming guest can correct any details I may have wrong here. But basically saying, you know, they filed a complaint about this and asking for this cross to be removed because it's offensive. Well, you know, as a Christian, I can tell you, well, yeah, the cross is offensive to people who don't know Christ. But we also have this little thing called the First Amendment, and a lot of people tend to not realize, you know, that separation of church and state, first of all, doesn't mean what they think it means. And it was also not part of the Constitution. It's part of a letter that Jefferson sent to the Danbury Association of Baptists. Anyway, I could go on a whole long rant and not get our guest in, but I want to introduce you to Doug Goff. He's a Knoxville veteran, and he's organizing a rally this Sunday to protest this. Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, Doug.
Thank you, Shane. I'm happy to be here.
Great. So, okay. First of all, when you heard about how did you hear about this complaint?
I heard about it like everyone else. It was, I heard it. I actually heard it from the news whenever they released that the city had received a letter demanding that it be taken down.
Okay. What's kind of the reaction? What are some, you know, the local reaction to this letter?
Anger, lots of anger. People are not only hurt that someone would want to attack us in this way, but they're angry because of how they're doing it. They're hiding behind an anonymous face, and they're using an organization that doesn't know anything about Knoxville to do their political bidding for them.
Yeah, just who put up this silhouette to begin with?
I'd rather leave his name out.
Okay.
But he is a Knoxville veteran. He's actually a Purple Heart veteran. He was wounded in Vietnam. And his story is that his best friend died in Vietnam. The very next day, he was shot in Vietnam. And that's why he put up this memorial, is to honor his fallen brother.
And it's kind of, when you think of it in the memorial sense, I mean, I have to wonder, as you know, are Americans United, and I think that's an interesting term anyway for an organization, because they're anything but united.
Yeah.
They don't unite us, they divide us. But you go to Arlington Cemetery, I've walked through Arlington Cemetery, on the tombstones you see crosses, you see Stars of David, you see different religious symbols. I mean, are we going to start? And that's a national cemetery. It's federal property. You know, should we? I just wonder if they think we should just scrub. I'm sure they probably do think we should scrub that from.
The funny thing is they released a letter to the editor of our local newspaper, the Journal Express, and they stated in the editor that there are no crosses in Arlington National Cemetery.
No, they're just embedded, engraved into the tombstones.
Exactly. And there is also several crosses on John F. Kennedy's memorial.
Right.
So, in their sense, they're talking, all of those have to go. The beaches of Normandy, where the unknown soldiers are, there's crosses there. And the French don't have a problem with that.
Right, which is, you know, French is, that's a real, the French, that's a, they introduced a secular society back in the 18th century, and they've kind of stuck with it. So, and
exactly.
if they could tolerate crosses, you know, it's just amazing that we can't in the United States. So tell me about this rally. What, you know, who are you? You're the one that came up with the idea for the rally, or were a bunch of you talking, or
myself? And I have another person with me. His name is Albert. He's an amazing individual. He says I'm the mouthpiece and he's the behind the scenes person.
Okay. I think I know the guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
So, give us some details about this rally. What's going to happen? When is it going to be? Who's going to be there?
The rally will be this Sunday, August 30th from 12 to 2. Name of the park that we will be at is Youngs Park. It's going to be hard to miss. It's right there off of Highway 14. a little bit south of the racetrack.
Okay.
We have some guest speakers. We've confirmed our state, our local representative, Greg Hartzell. We've confirmed Amy Sinclair.
Okay.
Myself, Al, and former Mayor Don Zoot will be talking along with Simon Conway. And then one that we're really excited about, we had a soldier, a Marine, die here, I believe, a year or two ago from our community in Iraq or Afghanistan. I don't remember exactly. I'm sure it was probably Afghanistan. But his mother will be speaking at the event, and I think that's an amazing thing because she lost her son, and that's what this memorial is all about. It's about the fallen soldiers. And we're working on some others, but those are the ones that we have confirmed right now.
Okay, and it's going to go from 12 to 2, you said, on Sunday?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, if it runs a little bit longer, it runs a little bit longer.
I think people will probably, you know, tolerate that.
Yeah.
So, unless you start just reading, the, you know, from the phone book or something like that. Most people,
yeah,
they tend to realize, oh, okay, well, you know, especially when you invite politicians, you never know.
No kidding.
How long they're going to end up talking, give them a mic, and that's a lot of, you know, that you could run into some problems with that.
Yeah, so, we may have to just shove them off the stage.
Right, yeah, yeah. Hold up a, you know, time's over, and then cut off the mic. Well, yeah, I guess is they're going to be, if you have a PA system, just cut it off.
Yep.
So, the city council, have you been able to have any interaction with the city council?
Are they
with you, or are they scared?
We have two confirmed that they will vote with us. And I'm very proud of these individuals. One's name is Tim Pitt. He's an amazing factor. He's been helping us so much in this thing. We also have Don Klein.
Okay.
He will be speaking as well at the rally.
And how many city council members are there in Knoxville?
I believe there's five. Okay. We have three that will not respond to our emails no matter what. I've emailed them several times. A lot of other people have, and they will not reply to any of us at all. And I'm pretty ashamed of that because I believe two of the three are up for re-election. So come re-election time, we will remember this.
Go ahead and name names, man.
I can't for sure.
Okay.
Our biggest advocate is, I want to say her name is Carolyn Formick.
Okay.
She's a staunch liberal and all that good stuff. But the cool thing
there's no good stuff with liberals, man.
Yeah, no kidding. the mayor has came out in support of us.
Okay. And the mayor of Knoxville, is he like a tiebreaker? Or I guess if you got five people, you don't necessarily need a tiebreaker. Does he have a vote?
They say he has a vote, but it's not, I believe it's more of like a tiebreaker thing if one abstains.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Cause I know every city's a little bit different with how the mayor can function, but anyway, this just reminds me, by the way, everybody, we have school board elections coming up September 8th, and we tend to put a lot of focus on national and state, you know, elections, but
yep,
these municipal elections are very vital because these people could really, I mean, they make decisions that really can impact you where you live when it comes to property taxes,
yeah,
and things like this. So it's important to pay attention, get to know who those candidates are, where they stand, and go out and vote. No, it's not sexy like national presidential caucus, but we need to do it. Thank you, Doug, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
It's back to school time, and as a parent, you are ready. It has been a long summer, and you can't wait to turn in your referee shirt and whistle. The kids bickering really wore you out. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. The Proverbs say, a brother is born for adversity, but all too often siblings have twisted this to mean that they are supposed to cause the adversity, much to the frustration of many parents. Conflicts among children are common, but they can also be a healthy means for them to learn how to respond biblically. One of the most helpful resources on this subject is the Young Peacemaker, available through Peacemaker Ministries at peacemaker.net. It teaches young people to understand conflict and gives them the tools to work out their problems. To help your child learn to handle conflict, call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
Hey, Des Moines! Have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. Go to crossroadsshooting.com. crossroadsshooting.com. And now we come to, I was going to say, my favorite part, but actually it's Brian's favorite part. It really is. He's the brainchild behind this next segment. Part of the show, which I don't know what that says about him, Chris. Anyway.
Oh, he's a goofy gentleman.
Yes,
that
he is.
For sure. Yes.
Well, we're about to share a story that is truly, truly unbelievable. Yet you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up!
From Focus Taiwan News Channel. Okay, I want to introduce a story. Have you ever had... when you've taken your kids to a museum, have you ever had just kind of a sick feeling in the stomach, like something could just possibly go really, really, really wrong? Have you ever had that experience?
I feel comfortable at museums.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't be. Are you telling me I should be afraid?
Well, it depends on what age are your children. And sometimes when you're, I'm thinking my son, when he was in his awkward, clumsy stage. Well, anyway, there was a 12-year-old in Taiwan who was evidently in his awkward, clumsy stage. I watched the video of this, and it's just like he like tripped for no reason, it seems like. But anyway, this Taiwanese boy on Sunday punched a hole in extremely valuable Palo Porpora painting at a Taipei expedition after apparently tripping and trying to catch his balance on the artwork, according to surveillance tape provided by the organizers on Monday. The 12-year-old boy may have gotten lucky, however, because the organizers will not ask the boy's family to pay for the cost of restoring the damaged painting, displayed as part of the Face of Leonardo, Images of a Genius. According to, I'm not even going to try to say this name, I even have Chinese characters, and that won't help me either.
Yeah.
Sun, that's the first name, the organizer, the head of the expedition, co-organizer anyway. The 200 centimeter tall painting, and because I'm a dumb American, I can't tell you how tall that is in our system, is around 350 years old.
Wow.
And it's valued over $1.5 million. Okay.
Wow.
Let me say it again. $1.5 million, and this 12-year-old punched a fist-sized hole in the bottom of this thing.
Oopsies.
I wonder what kind of goes on in your head when that happens. I there has to be a word for this. I can't imagine. All I know is that, man, if I had awkward teenage boys, we would not be visiting any art museums reading this story, because that's just, he seemed to be tripping over a rope barrier while walking past this 17th century oil painting. And, if that were me, I think I would have been tempted. Well, I don't know if he knew exactly how much the thing's worth.
Oh,
but
sure, he could.
Probably not. As a 12-year-old, they're not thinking that. But if it were me, like, man, I'm face planting on the floor. I don't care. I'm not reaching out to that painting. Not at all.
That's incredible how unprotected in a lot of ways it was, too.
It was just a rope barrier. You think usually they keep you further back than that.
So you said 350 years old?
Right.
Wow.
That's amazing. Anyway, the curator of the expedition, Andrea Rossi, was shocked. That was probably an understatement, too. Probably after passing out, after recovering.
Right.
Said that, she'd be discussing restoring the painting in Taiwan with Taiwanese art restorer on Monday before shipping it back to Italy. They're going to give it up to insurance. Fortunately, the family will not have to be on hook for any of this.
Wow.
Thankfully. But anyway, moral of the story is, watch your kids when you're in a museum. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. It's been a blast. We'll see you next week, and hopefully Brian will be with us. This is Shane Vanderhart. Take care.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.